Sister Missy, obey the Lord, honey.
And that song got me stirred tonight.
Come on, tell us.
I was standing up there trying to, you know, just kind of go over my mind.
My
so many things that
so
I
much
to pray the Lord for.
Come on.
I couldn't even get done. And,
come
you know,
on, come
one,
on.
And there would be another one, you know, and just kept rolling over and over and over and over. And there's a song that came to my mind when I came back and sat down. I'm just going to read
bless
a few words
Lord.
Of it. It's, there's just something about the Lord
yeah.
all over me.
Come on, man.
When I think of God's goodness, I've got to take my liberty. This may be confusing, and I know you may not see. But you don't know, like I know, what the Lord has said.
Woo! Glory!
Joy, joy, joy. And typhoid fever, and the doctors just gave me up, and my dad felt like taking me home, and the Lord healed me. And you know, that's something I've got to pray
for. Yes, yes, yes.
You know, He put me in a good Christian home. How many times do we take that for granted? I've got something to praise God for. He saved me.
Jesus.
He filled me. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. He gave me a wonderful husband, three healthy children.
Right.
He protected and He healed over and over and over. And we have had flat tires, we've had blowouts, we've had, you know, engine trouble, we've had this, we've had that, we've pulled up to places, you know, we didn't really have much money to eat, but every time the Lord has provided everything.
Yes, He has. I never let us down yet.
When I stand before the Lord, I'm asking, how can I not cry? But I just think about what He's done for me. You know, I don't know if it's that, you know, when I think even about what He's done for you, I remember going to your house before.
Yeah. I remember that.
When I got saved, and he was such a good man. And when he got saved, he was just a wonderful man.
Right.
And you know, it's something to praise God for. I am so grateful. If we can wrap our minds around what He's done for us, we can have so much joy in our lives and our hearts. And our souls come to just thank God for what He's done for us. I love Him tonight. Mr. Help, it might be confusing to some people, but when I think about what He's done for me,
yeah, come
think
on.
About it. You just don't know. I was when the doctors came in and I tried to tell him something is wrong with Doug and he's not looking at me when I talk to him. You know, something is wrong. And they took those tests and had all these patches on his head, you know, to do the neurological test, however you say it. And they come back and told me that, you know, he was blind. Oh my goodness, it was just, I couldn't even believe it. You know, this is not happening after so many things. Surely this is not happening to me. But when that night, when the Lord opened His eyes and He let Him walk again, it might be confusing to some of you all, but I've got this little praise in my heart. But it's because you just don't know.
Woo!
And when I look at you, I might think, you know, why are they so happy? I just don't know why you're such a
papers,
but you know, the Lord was my lawyer in the courtroom. He's been there through every step of my paper. forgave her and told her everything she'd ever done. And several verses down the line, and I'm not remembering all of it correctly, but it says that ends up telling her, you know, now is the time is, and now is when the worshipers shall worship, the true worshipers shall worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, she had something to praise God for, but she don't have nothing on me. You know?
Yeah, come on.
He gave me too. He led me out. He put my feet on a rock to stay. He put a stone on me.
Psalms chapter number 148. Glory, glory, glory. Well, I've been working on a little something here. I hope I can get it to make sense to you. Thank God, thank God. You know, sometimes I preach and I know exactly what I'm talking about, what I'm feeling, and it's a feeling and sounding pretty good, but I can tell everybody else kind of wondering what's wrong with me. The book of Psalms chapter number 148. Psalms 148, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye, Lord, from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created.
Amen.
The next chapter of Psalms 149, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto Him, sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise in the congregation of saints. Verse number 4, for the Lord taketh pleasure in His people, for He will beautify the meek with salvation. Psalms 150, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. You know where me and you are at, don't you? We're in the midst of the congregation. We're in His sanctuary. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him with the firmament of power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Verse number 6. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Vacation with Brother and Sister Miller, and we went to a place that Brother Miller was just telling, I've heard about it all my life, a big geyser called Old Faithful, and heard about it all my life, and you know, and he's just talking it up so big, I just couldn't wait to see it. Well, we got there, and you know, we had to park, you know, a good distance away, you know, and you walk down these concrete walks, go there to it, everybody was carrying lawn chairs, so we just grabbed ours and walked out there, sat down to see Old Faithful. And Brother Miller had told us, you know, that Old Faithful, you can always depend on it. It just erupts and water goes way up in the air. So we're sitting there, you know, I was expecting, you know, any time now. And we're still sitting there. And finally I asked these folks next to me, hey, when's it going to happen? And they said, oh, we've been here before. We remember our first time too. We was getting to wondering ourselves, but it'll erupt. Just be patient. Every hour and a few minutes, it'll erupt. How long more did you say? And I looked over at Missy and I said, you know, honey, this is going to be unbelievably, but it's obvious true. All of these years, it's always erupted. You know, they can't call it Old Faithful for crying out loud. And we were here the one time it didn't happen. This is going to be so crazy. Boy, have we got a story to tell. Y'all heard it quit. We was there the time it didn't happen. It's definitely late this time now, ain't it? Be patient, sir. It'll happen. It always does. And just about the time that I was decided it wasn't going to happen. Wow. It happened. It was something more to behold. I was so amazed at that thing, at that big geyser they call Old Faithful, that whenever I got back home, I got out the World Book Encyclopedia to learn a little bit about the geyser and that thing called Old Faithful. Well, I love reading the World Book Encyclopedia. Now, my family and some of my friends, they claim that I only like to read it because there's pictures on every page. Well, there is, but you know, it's my, come on now. Well, let me tell you what I read in there. I wrote it down for you. Under geyser is a spring that shoots up with hot water with explosive force. Often the water shoots up in great columns, cloudy with steam. Old Faithful in Yellowstone National Park is probably the world's most famous geyser. In most years, it erupts about every 76 minutes. Most eruptions are 120 to 150 feet high. About every 76 minutes. There's a lot of things in this here world that we just can't depend upon. A lot of things, Brother Allen, that we are really expecting that just doesn't happen. Some things are inconsistent. Some things you can't always count on. But we serve a very, very consistent God. And God made a geyser out there in Wyoming that about every 76 minutes, when you can't count on much in this world, you can count on Old Faithful. It's going to erupt again. Amen? Now understand that even when things are really good in this world, like on October 12th, my wife's birthday. That's why she's smiling real big, because she knew I was supposed to remember that. October 12th, 1492. That was a great day upon the face of this earth. Everything, or just about everything, in the world changed October 12th, 1492. That was the day that Christopher Columbus and those gentlemen found a new world. Thank God for this place we call North America, the United States. Amen? What a great day that was! But on that great day, as much as the world changed, about every 76 minutes, there was one thing that didn't change that you could count on. Out there in Wyoming, there's a geyser that about every 76 minutes, it erupted just like it always did. Well, now on September 11th, 2001, the whole world changed again. But it wasn't a good day. It's a horrible day. And most of us can remember exactly where we was, what we was doing, whenever we heard what happened on September 11th, 2001. Amen? The whole world changed! Or that is, most things changed. One thing happened the same! About every 76 minutes, there's a geyser in Wyoming called Old Faithful. And it erupted, just like always. You know, this consistent God that we serve, I want to do just what these scriptures told me to do. All through the Bible, it is very obvious the reason that He created us mankind of choice, that we have the ability to make choices and to think and make decisions. He wanted one that would praise Him, that would love Him, that would worship Him. not because like the sun and the moon and the stars, because he put them up there and that's what they do. Amen. Did you notice this morning the birds were singing? Woo! They were singing praises to the Lord.
Amen.
But you know why they were doing that? Because God made them to do that, and that's what birds do. When we go out there this night and we look at all those big beautiful stars hanging up there on nothing, they're giving praises, showing God's handiwork. Because that's how God made them. That's what they do. But let me tell you about a congregation of folks at the Linwood Faith Tabernacle tonight. There's a bunch of folks there that are going to praise Him, worship Him, sing songs and make music. They're going to talk of all His wondrous works, but not because they have to. Woo! But because they have chosen to. Just because, Brother Junior, they want to. Woo! You know why that I'm praising the Lord? Because I want to. Because I decided to. Because He is God, and I'm so glad that He is mine and I am His. Woo! Somebody ought to help me praise Him tonight. Somebody ought to praise Him. Woo! Well, now we read that it's very clear that it's the Lord's will for us to praise Him. Amen? But what I have learned is this. I'm going to talk about me a little while now. And I hope that there's some folks here that knows that they've been a lot the same over the years. There's been times in my life that I have found was kind of like October 12th, 1492. Everything was good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just got busy, got carried away, doing this, doing that. And 76 minutes passed. And I didn't praise Him. I can't say I have always been as consistent as I should have been with praises to God. But I want to be like that geyser out there in Wyoming. That about every 76 minutes for that, and just so you never know, it's going to be just a little bit. I'm going to erupt in praise. Woo! I want to be consistent with my life and consistent with praises to God. Even when everything is going great, everything is going so good that I'm busy, my mind is moving. I always want to be consistent enough that no matter how good things are, I always take time to praise Him. Amen? I want to be a lot like that old geyser was on September 11th, 2001. When things are not so good in my life. Oh, Sister Tasha, when things are bad in my life. When I'm having trouble. When I'm having problems. When my mind is weighing down. I want there to be one thing you can count on about me. I want there to be one thing that God can count on about me. That I am consistent. That I'm going to praise Him even when things are bad. Oh, on that day, you remember how they closed down all the airports in America. You remember how that all the schools were let out and everything, everybody, they left work and things just was going crazy in America. Oh my goodness, things was changing very quickly. It was bad. But one thing didn't change. A geyser out there in Wyoming. About every 76 minutes. It erupted! Just like it did the day before! And just like it did the day after! Why? Because it is faithful. It is consistent. It is going to erupt no matter how good it gets or how bad it gets. My friend, that's the way I want my life to be. I want God to be able to count on me that He is going to get praise no matter how good, no matter how bad things are. There's one thing He can count on. I'm going to praise Him! Woo! Well, I started looking up some things and reading on in the encyclopedia. I found some interesting facts about geysers. Geysers form in areas where water drains through the earth deep below the surface. Now I'm thinking, if I'm going to be a lot like that geyser called Old Faithful, I need to learn about what makes Old Faithful. I need to learn a little bit about it so I can pattern my life that way. Well, one of the facts that I found out is that geysers form in areas where water drains to the earth deep below the surface. It says it is impossible for surface water or shallow water to form a geyser. It must be deep below the earth's surface. Come on here now. I don't have to preach a whole lot right here because I think every one of us here is intelligent enough to know just what that's saying. Surface water, shallow water, that can't form a geyser. It's got to be deep, deep down below. Come on now. You know, I've gone to church with them, and I'm sure you have too. Folks that are high, that are low, that are in, that are out, that are shouting, that are pouting. Come on now. Inconsistent. You just don't know what they're going to be this week.
That's right, brother. Come on.
I don't want to be that way. I want to be consistent. I want, whenever God looks at me, I remind Him a lot of Old Faithful. That if there's nothing else you can depend on, He can depend on that I am going to be consistent with my praises. I'm going to love Him and worship Him just like I did yesterday, just like I'm going to do tomorrow. Amen. Thank God. I want to be a lot. But in order to be like that, it's going to take a deep experience. It's going to take more than surface water, than shallow water. It's going to take something deep, deep, deep. Come on now. Well, I love this one. Noted geyser groups are found in lands that are extremely different from each other. One of the largest groups of geysers are located in Iceland. Another group is located far to the south in New Zealand, a country known for its grain plant life. Now, Pastor Melvin Duke in Bristol, Oklahoma, is my personal friend, and when I'm in meeting with him, I love to hear him tell about his days during the Korean War. He was drafted, and he was stationed in Iceland. I love hearing those stories. What a place. It earned its name, honestly. It's Iceland. Come on now. What a place to have to spend several years of your life living there. Iceland. But in Iceland, there are some geysers that erupt and shoot water way up in the air. Well, now I don't know because I've never been there. But I can imagine that maybe if me and you went there and met a guy named Todd and said, "Hey, Brother Todd, why in the world do you all have geysers in Iceland? What do you think causes that?" The answer might would be, "Well, you know, this isn't Iceland. It's very cold all the time, and you know, there's always snow and ice, and so we have these things called geysers. That's what it causes." I don't know. Maybe they would say it's because of where they're at. I don't know. But I would have to disagree with them and tell them, no. That's not what makes the geyser where you're at. understand that there is another place just off of Australia, a place called New Zealand. I've got a pastor friend named Brother Lynch in Hawaii, and I'm not sure this week or last week, he's been in revival in New Zealand. And oh, to hear him talk about what a beautiful place it is. I talked to him the other day on the phone. He was telling me that he was gone his way back there. And oh, he was telling about, you've never seen anything as beautiful as New Zealand. Well, if we could go to New Zealand and find the guy there named Todd, and we could say, hey, Brother Todd, notice you got some geysers here in New Zealand. Why have you got geysers in New Zealand? What makes that? I don't know. The answer might be, well, understand the temperature is always great here. Everything is always green. It's just a beautiful place. And therefore, we have geysers. But I have to disagree. Doesn't matter where you're at. That's not what makes the geyser. Come on here now. You see, the two places in the world that there are more geysers than any other place is in Iceland and New Zealand. The two places in the world that are about as far different as any other two places in the world. What I'm trying to preach to you, friend, and I know I'm not a real good preacher, and I don't know how to pick my words just right, and I'm trying to tell you this. It doesn't matter who your mama and daddy is or was. It doesn't matter which side of the tracks, as we say, that you grew up on. It doesn't matter if you're a Texan here today with a cowboy hat on and cowboy boots and a sidearm there, and you're a country boy and got your horse parked out front. Or if you're going home to the projects. It doesn't matter. Come on here now. It doesn't matter if you're obviously wealthy, and we're all so glad you're here tonight. Thank God, pass the plates again. Come on now. Or if you're so poor that you're really wondering how you're going to afford lunch tomorrow. That's not what makes a geyser. You can be from anywhere in the world. You can be from the coldest, most desolated place in the world. Or you can be from the place in the world that is known for all of its green and beauty, called New Zealand. But either way, you can have water so deep down on the inside. You can have water that is deep below the surface. You can have water that is so deep below the surface that there is a geyser that forms, hey, that comes up with explosive force, that makes you want to praise the Lord, that makes you want to give the Lord a praise and worship Him, because He is God and always will be God. Somebody ought to give Him a praise. Somebody ought to worship the Lord. Woo! Give Him a praise, church. Surely He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. Woo! Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
Got another one. One more. I'm about done. Bear with me. Let me tell you one more interesting fact about a geyser. Some of the water seeps back into the earth and fills the channel again. The crevices that feed the channel usually contain constrictions or sharp bends. I love the wording of the World Book Encyclopedia. These constrictions, or sharp bends, prevents convections that cause the water to mix to a uniform temperature. This mixing would keep the water from becoming superheated enough to form an eruption. I don't have to preach a long time there, do I? Understand that deep below the earth's surface, in these channels that the water seeps back down into, that is going to be a part of that geyser, that one we call Old Faithful, there are some sharp bends. They use the word some constructions, some straight and narrow spots, some spots that sharp very tightly. And some people have wondered, why are those sharp bends and those constrictions there? Let me explain it to you. This water must remain separated from all the rest of the water down in the earth. Because if this water mixes with all the rest of the water, it will all be the same temperature. But this water must be superheated. And the only way that it can be and remain superheated is if it doesn't mix with all the rest of the water in the earth. My friend, Jesus knew what he was doing whenever he taught us to come out from among them and be ye separate. Whenever the Bible taught us of sanctification, a separation, a consecration, being set apart, so we can praise the Lord with all of our heart, with the way we look, with the way we act, with the way we talk, with every part of us. My friends, if we try to mix, you know, there are those I've had the privilege to preach meetings for that, man, kind of makes me ashamed of a lot of us, that we don't get in and worship and praise with our voice and all of, like we ought to, because they do. But then in other areas of their life, they try to fit in with that out there. Come on now. The mixing causes the temperature to be the same.
That's right.
I saw them dancing, but I didn't feel the Spirit. Come on now. I heard them singing, but I didn't taste the anointing. Come on here now. I saw, but I didn't feel. Oh, my friends, there is a reason why that deep below the surface there are some constrictions and sharp bends. It keeps the water separated so that it can get superheated, so that an eruption can take place, an eruption of praise. Woo! Thank God, thank God. My friends, I want to be a lot like Old Faithful. Brother Junior, I want to be like Old Faithful, except for that old part. Me and you are from the same generation, so you got to stick with me on this. I'll mention that you're quite a bit older than me, so that you stick with me now, Brother Junior. Hey, I want to be faithful. I want, when God looks down at Greater Cincinnati, you've probably heard the news that we've had several more murders and a whole lot more shootings in Greater Cincinnati this year than ever in history. Oh my. A lot of things in Greater Cincinnati is inconsistent, that you just can't depend on. But when God looks down, I want Him to say, well, there's one thing I'm sure of. Any minute now, Doug is going to erupt in praise and give the Lord a praise. Somebody ought to stand up and just erupt in praise tonight. Stand with me and erupt in praise tonight. Woo! Thank God, thank God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Woo! my friend, everybody in the building has got so much to praise the Lord for. We've got so much to talk to Him about. Oh, but understand that Sister Pat was doing so wonderful, preaching a little bit here tonight and talking about how that, you know, He's promised that He would meet our needs. But you know, He also said, now not just everything that we think, but in our heart, He also said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He will give thee the desires of thine heart. Not of your mind and just your, but of your heart. But notice that first word, delight thyself in the Lord. I think that doesn't mean coming to the altar saying, well, Lord, I'm in trouble, everything's in trouble, and I don't know what to do, but I'm just going to tell you and go on back to my seat and go to the bathroom. Delight thyself in the Lord. Come on now. Every time you pray, Sister Pat, every time before you ask for anything, Brother Charlie, you ought to give the Lord a praise. Woo! Brother Sean, it ought to start with giving the Lord a praise.
Amen. Thank God.
Let's all come around, find ourselves a place to pray. But before we ask Him for anything, let's thank Him for a few things. I got a challenge for you. Before you pray, I got a challenge for you. Before you ask anything of the Lord, and I know everyone got a lot to ask of Him. I know I do. Come on now. I want you to think of five things. Before you ask Him anything, I want you to praise Him for five different things. That's a challenge. Has He done five things for you?